longer than you know. Let the fire in your heart begin to grow. Loving me is enough. I'm breaking through the dark, shining with my truth and lighting up my heart. Every day I rise, every moment's tough, but loving me is enough.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Love of Me is Enough podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Hetcher, and I'm so glad that you have decided to hit that little play button so you can hear what it is that we're talking about today. So before we get into our episode on today, I want to take this time out to say thank you. I was grateful for your love and your support for the reintroduction episode. I gotta be honest with you guys, I was so hesitant about coming back. I was so hesitant about how it will be received. Would anyone even listen in? And let me tell you, people who I didn't think were listening or people who I didn't think were waiting, they were actually listening and waiting. And to you guys, I say thank you so very much. It confirmed a lot for me. It confirmed that when you think you've been gone too long, people are actually waiting for your return. People actually was interested in what it is that you had to say the first few times around. And I hope to not disappoint you guys with this season. I told you we have a lot to say. I have a lot to talk about. It's going to be episodes that make you think. Some may make you cry. Some may even make you reconsider and look at your relationships differently. And that's not a bad thing, because we all can do some reevaluation, right? Because if we want to be a little biblical, the Bible always talks about let a man examine himself. So whatever I do, I'm always examining who I am. And I'm going to ask you to do the same. So we're on this journey together. Don't think that, hey, you know, why is she taking care of that topic? Why is she talking about this? I'm going to be talking about everything. Like, nothing is literally off limits on this show. We're going to be diving into some things that may hurt your feelings, some things that make you just woosah. But whatever it is, understand this. It's for a purpose. It is necessary. It's because it's to help you help us evolve and continue to love who we are and embrace who we are. So, yeah, let's get ready. So what are we going to talk about today? Today, we're going to talk about something that changed my life. We're going to talk about the moment I chose myself. Not in a selfish way, not in a prideful way, but in a necessary way. The moment I chose me, the moment I decided to say enough was enough and I matter. Think about that. When was the last time you said to yourself, enough is enough and I matter? You probably haven't even said it to yourself. So you know what? Let's take a try. Stop what you're doing for a moment. If you can, look into the mirror. If you're driving, do not look into the mirror, because I'm not helping you pay for your insurance. Let's just get that clear. But if you can, take a look at yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, enough is enough and I matter. Something so simple and something so just minor can be so major in your life and mean so much to your body. One thing I always tell my clients, if nobody else is listening to you, you are listening to you. And what you say to yourself does matter. So by you telling yourself in this moment, enough is enough and I matter, guess who's listening? Yourself. So yourself is like, all the little sparkly neurons in your body saying, wait a minute, she's choosing her. Hold on, he's choosing him. We've never heard this before. Or it's been a while since she's done this. It's been a while since he's done that. And so do it again. Take a deep breath. Enough is enough. And I matter. And that's what our episode today is about. Choosing yourself. Choosing yourself isn't necessary because there comes a point in your life when loving everyone else while abandoning yourself stop working. You chose this, you chose that, you chose that, da 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 da. And after a while, it stops working. And eventually what begins to happen is your soul demands better. Your soul is saying, hey, pick me, pick me. You remember how we used to be like the children on the playground when it was time to play kickball? I'm dating myself because nobody plays kickball anymore. When you was playing kickball and you had to choose teams and you were begging for the captain to choose you, pick me, 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 me. And you're jumping up and down and you're raising your hand and you're doing all of this to get the attention of the team captain. Well, that's what your soul is doing. Your soul is jumping up and down saying, hey, choose us. Choose us. We're here. Do you not see us? And so that's what we're going to get in today. Choosing yourself because your soul demands it, your spirit demands it, and you need it. It is necessary for you to choose yourself. So let me tell you, the first thing that happens in choosing yourself, you reach your breaking point. Most of us are taught to be everything for everyone. We're taught to be the provider, the teacher, the keeper, the caregiver, the this, the that. You know, if you're in a big sister role, I'm not the oldest sister. I'm one of the oldest, but I'm not the oldest sister. But as the older sister, I watch my older sister having so much responsibilities placed on her because she was the oldest sister. And that was a role by default. I mean, truly, she didn't ask to be the oldest, but she's the oldest by default. And so in her being the oldest when we were children, I watched her having to be everything for everybody else. I don't even know if the girl knew she was everything to everybody else, but whole nother topic. But we're taught that. That's a learned behavior. We're taught to be everything for everybody else. We're taught that you have to be there for this one. You have to do this for that one. You have to make sure this one is good. You have to make sure that, you know, this happens on the job. You have to make sure this happens at church. You have to make sure this happens this and da 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 da. And it goes on and on and on until we reach our breaking point. We're taught that we have to be understanding. We're taught that we have to be patient. We're taught that we have to be forgiving. That's biblical. That's a whole nother story. Please forgive. And we're taught that we have to be accommodating. And this is all for others. But who teaches us to do it for ourselves? Right? Who teaches us to be understanding with ourselves? Who teaches us to be patient with ourselves? Who teaches us to forgive ourselves? Let me just take a side note. Forgiving yourself is paramount. There's so many of us walking around here forgiving others and loving others and this and that for others, and we haven't even forgiven ourselves. Let that sink in for a moment. I've forgiven Sally and I've forgiven Mark, but I haven't forgiven myself. We got to work on that. We'll talk about that later. But no one teaches us to be accommodating to ourselves. So if we're not taught to be understanding, patient, forgiving, or accommodating to ourselves, and we're taught that for everyone else, how do we know to choose us? Well, that's why you have me, because we're going to do that today. Nobody teaches us how to protect ourselves emotionally, spiritually, mentally. We're taught to protect others. And if you're a man listening to this, you're automatically taught that you're the protector. You're the provider. Make sure your sister is good. Make sure this don't happen. Make sure your wife is good. Make sure your spouse is good. Make sure the children are protected. And it becomes too much. And it becomes heavy. And all along, them little neurons I told you about, they're yelling, hey, who's protecting me? Who's looking out for me? Who's caring for my emotions? Who's caring for my spirit? Caring for me spiritually? Who's taking care of my mental health? Who, me? Hello, me. And sometimes the breaking point comes and we break. And it's not an easy break. It's a hard break. Because now your emotions your soul, everything is tired, and you get to the breaking point. Think about it in the natural. When you get to your breaking point in the natural, simply meaning when you're carrying too much weight, if you're carrying too much weight naturally, your hands get weak, your legs get weak. Those things begin to shake and tremble and collapse, but it's no different, no difference emotionally. Your soul is just, it's collapsing, and we don't notice it because we're not taught to know it, right? You've been overextending yourself. You've been shrinking to keep the peace. You've been tolerating things that don't align with who you are becoming. I can't begin to tell you those three things: overextending yourself, shrinking the peace, tolerating things that don't align with who you are becoming. I was the poster child. Whew. Let me take a deep breath. When it came to overextending myself, I was the president, the CEO, the CFO, the secretary, I was it all. I didn't know how to say no and mean my no. I was showing up for everybody. I was doing everything for everyone, just overextending. Why? Because at that point, I felt like that's what I needed to do for that person, not realizing, Natasha, you're overextending. You're burnt. You're tired. You can't go any further. Overextending. You might be saying, well, I'm just trying to be helpful. No, you're not. You may be helpful to them, but you're a detriment to yourself. What does overextending look like? Let me give you a good example. You know you're tired, but this is going on, and people are saying, hey, are you coming to the event? Are you coming to the show? Are you coming to this? Are you going to do that? And you know that you're tired. You know that your heart's desire is to do nothing more than to sit on your couch with a cold drink and no noise and relax. You know that's what you want to do. But what do you end up doing? Yeah, I'll be there. Overextending. For the sake of others, you're overextending yourself. Some of us are doing the number two. We're shrinking, to keep peace. I'm not going to do this because I know it's going to make them look bad. I'm not going to say this because I don't want to seem like I'm intimidated. Shrinking to keep the peace. I can't tell you again, CEO, president, was a lifetime member of shrinking to keep the peace. Shrinking because I didn't want somebody else to look bad. Shrinking because I didn't want them to think that I was being too much. Shrinking because I thought that that's what I needed to do in order to keep peace. And honestly, I kept the peace. But my soul was crying out saying, what in the world are we doing? Who are we shrinking for? You are who you are, and they have to either take it or leave it. Shrinking to keep the peace. I'm not going to tell my partner I don't like this because I need to keep the peace. I don't want to create an argument. Well, you know what? You're not creating an argument with them, but you certainly are creating an argument with yourself. We have to stop shrinking. We are who we are, and we're called to be who we're called to be. One of the places that I shrank so much is in ministry. I did a lot of shrinking in ministry for years, because I didn't want people to think, oh, she thinks she's all of that. Oh, who does she think she is? Oh, she's young. She's not ready for that. Or she's not capable of handling that. When I was really capable of handling more, but I shrunk to keep the peace, and I shrunk to not make the person look or persons look bad. Shrinking to keep peace. All along, let me tell you what shrinking does. You eventually lose your identity and you begin to lose pieces of yourself. Oh, I don't want to show up at the job and be Miss Goody Two-Shoe or, you know, do my work in the proper way because I don't want so-and-so to feel like I'm leaving them behind when I'm really excelling at this job and I can do it with my eyes closed, but I'm not going to make them look bad. shrinking to keep peace, save face. Tolerating. Another poster child. Tolerating things that don't align with who you are becoming. One of the things I tell my son, and he's 18 now, and hopefully that message sunk in. But one of the things I always tell my son is stop entertaining things, people, and places that no longer serves a purpose in your life. If it's not aligning with where you're going and who you're becoming, why are you tolerating it? Perfect example. You used to drink every, and this is just an example. If you're a person that used to drink 5, 6, 7 every day, every night, and now you're trying to change who you are and choose yourself, and so now you only drink 3 or 4 times a week, not 7, 3 or 4 times, and not the whole bottle. Why are you going to continue to hang around or tolerate people or that's no longer align with who you are trying to become? Either two things are going to happen. Either you're going to pull them or they're going to pull you back. And more times than so, they pull you back. We have to stop aligning and tolerating things and people that are no longer aligned with who we're becoming. If you're trying to become a better version of yourself, there are going to be people that you have to step away from. I'm not going to say cut off because that's your decision, but there are people you're going to have to reevaluate their position in your life. Is this person a floor seater? Think about it in the basketball arena. Should this person have access to the floor seats, or should this person be a nosebleed? That's what you have to ask yourself. Those are decisions that you will have to make. Floor seat, nosebleed. I mean, there are seats in between. You just have to decide where that person goes. And let me tell you, having these realizations can be painful, but it can also be powerful, because that's where transformation begins. It begins in the transition. It begins when you come to those realizations that, listen, I can't continue to do this anymore. I can't continue to live this life the way I'm living it anymore. I have to make a very conscious decision to choose myself. Yeah. But what does choosing yourself really mean? Sounds good. But what does it really mean? Choosing yourself doesn't mean you stop loving people. It means you stop abandoning yourself to keep them comfortable. I'm going to say that again. Choosing yourself doesn't mean you stop loving people. It means you stop abandoning yourself to keep them comfortable. Choosing yourself means you're setting boundaries without guilt. You're walking away from what drains you. You're breaking patterns that keep repeating themselves. And you're protecting your peace. I can say a lot about all four of those, but I will say this. I have this thing that if it cost me my peace, it is way too expensive and more than I want to pay. Anything or anyone that causes me my peace, they're too expensive, it's too expensive, and it's more than I'm willing to pay. You have to protect your peace at all cost. Now, I don't know what peace looks like to you. I don't know what peace feels like to you. Only you can determine what is peace for you. And what does protecting it look like? Because only you knows where your barometer for peace is. So protect, well, and when you figure out what it is, what peace looks like and feel like for you, protect it. Breaking patterns that keep repeating themselves. Ooh. Dating a different guy with the same qualities that of the first guy that you dump or the last guy that you dump. Doing things that looks the same. You keep repeating the same pattern over and over and over and over. You know, in the world of psychology, we call that doing the same thing and expecting different results. We call that insanity. We keep going, we keep repeating the same pattern and over and over and over. And we know for a fact that this pattern no longer, that version no longer serves who we are, but we're so familiar and it feels so natural. And it feels like home, and it feels like this is where we should be, and it feels like this is what we should do. But it's a pattern that you keep repeating that is no longer serving who you are, and it's no longer aligned with who you're becoming. Choosing yourself means you have to break those patterns, as hard as it may be, that keep repeating itself. Walking away from what drains you. Ooh, you ever walk into a room or be around someone, and before you get into that room or around that person or persons, you're all nice and bubbly, you're energized, you're this, you're that, you're feeling like today is going to be a great day. And you get around that person or persons or in that room, and all of a sudden it seems like your battery went from 100% to like 90%, and then eventually goes to 80, and eventually your next thing you know is saying low battery. It's kind of like FaceTime for those of you that have Apple phones. When you start a FaceTime call, you're at like, let's say 85%. And the moment you continue to stay on that call, it goes down to like 30%. And you're like, what in the world? Because FaceTime drains your battery quicker. Same thing. There are people in our lives. There are people in our lives that's like FaceTime. They're draining us. And we have to be bold enough to walk away from what's draining you. I dare you over the next week or two or three or four to just evaluate your energy level when you get around certain people, when you walk into certain rooms, when you walk into certain arenas. Check your energy level. If you're walking in at a 90, a strong 90, and by the time you get into that room, that area, that space, whatever it is, you're a 20, you're on yellow, I'm going to suggest that you walk away, because that room, that arena, that place, that person, it's draining you. Set boundaries without being guilty. Your boundaries are your boundaries. Know when to say, nope, not going to do that. I have this thing where two things I say. One of them I recently started saying. I always used to say when things were outside of my boundary line, I would always say, it's above my pay grade. That would be my remark. Nope, above my pay grade. Because that's me saying, I'm not doing that. Nope, outside the realms of my boundaries. Nope. Now what I say, I'm minding the business that pays me, and not literally pay, but pay me in the way where I'm guarding my peace. I'm breaking my pattern. I don't want to be drained. Absolutely not. It is outside of my boundary lines. So that's what choosing yourself looks like, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like setting boundaries without guilt, walking away from what drains you, breaking patterns that keep repeating, and protecting your peace. It means recognizing that your value doesn't decrease because someone else doesn't know how to honor it. Because someone hasn't figured out how to honor themselves, they won't honor you. I'ma just say that. And sometimes the most loving thing you can do for yourself is say, this is no longer aligning with the life I'm building. This is above my pay grade. I'm minding the business that pays me. Whatever you say, just say it and mean it, enforce it, and understand that it's okay to choose you. It's okay to put you first, not in a selfish way, not in a nasty way, but in a way that invigorates your soul to do better and to thrive. Now, I'm not going to tell you that this is going to be easy. I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be a walk in the park. You're going to grab you some ice cream and skip to Maluma, darling. No, you're not going to do that. This is going to take work. It's going to take soul work, not surface work. It's going to take for you to sit and ask yourself some really hard questions. One thing I learned in my own journey is that loving yourself is not just a mindset. Choosing yourself is not just a mindset. It's daily work. It's asking yourself hard questions. It's looking yourself square in the eye in the mirror and asking yourself those questions that only you can ask yourself, and it has meaning. You're going to have to ask yourself questions like, why do I tolerate certain behaviors and certain people and certain patterns? Why do I go for it? Why are you accepting it? Look yourself in the mirror and say, self, hopefully self answers, why are we tolerating these behaviors and these patterns? And only self can answer, because only you have the answer to that. As a life coach, I can tell you certain things as a person that's literally 2 internships away from my license in mental health. I can tell you why you tolerate those patterns, but it means so much more when you do the internal work of figuring out. It's more lasting when you figure out for yourself, why do I tolerate these behaviors? Here's another hard question to ask yourself. Why do I feel responsible for fixing people? I'm going to just let that breathe for a moment. Listen, I don't know where I can't even get it out. I don't know at what juncture in my life I decided that I was Mrs. Fix-It. I don't know at what juncture in my life I decided that I was Superwoman to put on my little cape and go fix everybody, because that was my job. I don't know who delegated me to be Mrs. Fix-It, but I believe I delegated myself. I had this notion that I can fix this one and I can fix that one and I can make this right and da 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 da. Give it to her, she'll fix it. Da 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 da. Ooh. Listen, talk about draining, talk about frustrating, talk about overwhelming, talk about you just feel like, argh! But it's not their fault. Why do you, Natasha, why did you, Natasha, feel like you were responsible for fixing them? That's not your job. You are not God. You do not have the ability to fix nobody. Honey, you ain't even got the ability to fix yourself at times. So who deputized you to feel that you are responsible for fixing somebody else? When I tell you, that was one of the hardest parts of my journey. Understanding that I am not the fixer. I am not supposed to fix them. I am supposed to, I'm charged with, according to my Bible, I am charged with loving them. I am charged with showing forth grace. I am charged with showing forth the love of God. I am not responsible for fixing you. It is not my job, because you know what? I am not the creator. I didn't create you. I'm not your manufacturer. So why, Natasha, do you think you have all the ability and the capability to fix that person? And some of us need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, why do I have a need or feel responsible to fix people? Why? As my mother would say, who died and left you in charge? Who died and left you Mr. or Mrs. Fix-It? Who? God don't need your help. He's the manufacturer. If he want to fix that person, he will. Your job is to take it to God in prayer. If it bothers you that bad, take it to God in prayer. Let him deal with it. That's his problem. Here go my line. It's above your pay grade. You can't fix him. And if you think you could, it's a temporary fix. But I'm going to move past that question. But ask yourself, why do I feel responsible for fixing people? Here's another hard question. Why do I struggle to say no? Some of us, we struggle with that word no. And I often make this very clear. No is a complete sentence. One word by itself, complete. Whether you put a period, a question mark, or an exclamation point behind it, it is a complete sentence and it requires no explanation. Say it with me. No. Say it again. No. And mean it. Can you do this for me? No. Can you? No. Will? No. Practice it. While you're driving in your car, just randomly start using the word no. Just say it. No. Do, 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 do. No. Do, 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 do. No. And if you want to be real jazzy, absolutely not. Why do we struggle with saying no? But it goes back to the first two questions, because I feel like I'm Mrs. Fix-It. I feel like I have to overextend. I feel like I have to do this for that person and be this for that person and be here for that person. No. Absolutely not. Say no. I promise you, from experience, the moment you say no and mean it, it'll be like a little chip lifted off your shoulder, and you'll feel lighter and you'll feel okay. The first time you say it, it may hurt a little. You may feel some type of way, but the more you say it, the more comfortable you become. When you start answering those questions honestly, something begins to shift. You stop blaming everyone else and you start to reclaim your own power. You start realizing that I do matter. I can choose myself. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where the real growth happens. When you do the internal work, like I said, you can go to therapy, you can get a life coach, you can talk to your friends, you can talk to your pastoral leadership and have them answer all these questions for you. But nothing matters more than you sitting with self and asking yourself these hard questions. That's where real growth begins. See, what I wanted to accomplish in this podcast wasn't perfection. I wanted to accomplish alignment, helping us become the us. Notice I didn't say y'all. Helping us become the best version of ourselves that we can become. Because we're all at a place and we all can evolve. We all can become who we want, who we need for ourselves. Choosing you again, I'm going to say it, it's not selfish. It's necessary. In becoming the best version of you doesn't mean that you're begging for respect. You're not negotiating your boundaries. You're not dimming your light to make others comfortable anymore. No. And I wanted to start with this episode right out the gate because I want us to understand that where we're getting ready to go on this journey is going to take a lot of work. But the first thing we need to understand is choosing yourself is necessary. Loving yourself and choosing yourself, it's not arrogance. Say it with me. Loving myself, choosing myself is not arrogance. It's awareness. Because let me tell you, how can you love somebody else if you don't love yourself? How can you give to someone else what you haven't given yourself? That's why most of us are pouring from empty cups. Whole nother topic. Because we're giving what we don't have to others instead of choosing us first, filling up the cup, and then allowing the overflow. Child, that's a whole nother topic. But loving yourself is not arrogance. It's awareness. It's recognizing the worth that God placed inside of you and deciding to honor it. I'll say that one more time as I get ready to close out this segment. Loving yourself is not arrogance. It's awareness. It's recognizing the worth inside of you and deciding to honor it. That's all it is. Choosing yourself is not arrogance. It's awareness. It's recognizing the worth, and we all do have worth, that God has placed inside of you and deciding to honor it. Don't expect them to choose you if you haven't chosen yourself. Ooh. The preacher in me says this. Let me say that again. Don't expect them to choose you if you haven't chosen yourself. Why would I choose you? You didn't even choose you. So why do you want them to choose you? Powerful. Look, I know we said a lot in this podcast today. I know for some of us, this episode may have been, you know, eye-opening. For others, it may have been confirmation. For some, it might just be something you listen to just because. I don't know where you are. But I want you to understand that if you're listening today and you've been struggling to choose yourself, let this be your confirmation. Let this be the word that you needed. Let this be the guide that you needed. Go back and listen to it again. I mean, don't just listen. Just hear. Hear what I'm saying to you. I often tell my son, I won't ask you to do nothing that I haven't done. I can't tell you how to come through nothing that I haven't been through. Hear me loud and clearly, ladies and gentlemen. At this great big old age that I am, there was a point in my life where I did not choose me. And that time wasn't so long ago. That's why I was gone for 3 years. There was a point in my life where I stopped loving me and started loving everything and everybody else. That's why I've been gone for 3 years. There was a time where I felt like I need to fix everything and fix everyone. That's why I was gone for 3 years. Because I needed to realign, reassess, and reclaim my power in order for me to sit here and tell you, hey, I know what works. Not because nobody told me, not because I read some self-help book, but baby, because I've been through it. And I happen to come out with the grace of God on the other side. Choose yourself. You're not too much. You are not too difficult. And you are not wrong for wanting peace. You're simply evolving. And sometimes evolution requires you to stop settling for versions of life that no longer fit who you're becoming. And remember, loving you is enough. Choosing you is a good choice, and it's necessary. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. I hope that something was said that brought you closer to hearing or seeing or being or becoming. Thank you for being here with me on this journey. Thank you for allowing me into your homes, into your cars, into your sacred and secret places. If this episode truly resonated with you, share it with someone who may need the reminder that they too matter and it's okay to choose themselves. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, know that loving you is enough. Be blessed.
Power in your hands, your story's just begun. Believe